pretty sure this is the music that plays when you're like in like an inspirational part in a movie, like you're running to the finish line right now.
Yo,
this is a banger, like
I listen to this in my free time, man.
Oh, you thought it was over.
I did. Alright, welcome to Absolutely Necessary. Thank you for listening to my mad, sick beatboxing skills. And let's jump right into it. All three of us are here, we're ready to talk sports, so let's do that. Hall of Fame voting is back, we talked about that last episode, and the votes are in, and Mariano Rivera is the first unanimous Hall of Famer of all time, something I didn't think I would ever see. So, congratulations to Mariano Rivera.
Deserves it.
Roy Halladay, Mike Mussina, and Edgar Martinez were all elected as well. You guys have any other thoughts about that?
No, I think you guys were right with the steroid user people, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. I may have jumped on that bandwagon a little bit too fast with them trying to see recognition.
They did go up, though.
They did go up. Like, their percentages were enough, but not enough to bring them on the ballot. To put them into Hall of Fame Cooperstown. So I think that these choices were definitely respectable and well-deserved, as Mariano Rivera was the best closer, in my opinion, in the entire MLB history. So,
Jacob?
Yep, I think they got it right, as the voters usually do. Don't have a lot to say. We talked about it last time, so a lot of the outcomes we thought would happen happened, and not one of them isn't deserving of the honor.
The other thing I want to mention before we really start digging deep into the content today is that Kevin Durant opened up an after-school center near where he grew up, which I think is a real second-best player in the world move to do. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron made a full school, and then the second best player made an after-school center, which isn't like a full school, but like, you know what I mean?
Well, LeBron didn't pay for his school. The whole thing, the city paid for most of it, so.
Still a fantastic move by LeBron, and still a fantastic move by Kevin Durant. That's what we like to see in life.
I think we just want to see people giving back to the community, and no matter whatever way you're doing it, great or small, it's the thought that matters, so.
Exactly.
We thank everyone for their efforts.
Exactly.
Carl Anthony Towns? No? Okay.
What about it? Like, I don't...
Is he giving back? I don't...
That's right. Carl Anthony Towns is overrated because he doesn't give back to the community.
Yo, that's what it is. That's the measure of how good you are in the NBA.
All right. We have one topic I want to talk about today with the MLB besides the Hall of Fame voting, so let's get right into it. AJ Pollock just signed with the Dodgers today. AJ Pollock was an outfielder after Machado and Harper. He was probably the best field player, non-pitcher available. So he agreed to a 4-year, $55 million deal with a player option for the fifth year. AJ Pollock is a pretty solid outfielder. Do you guys think this is a good signing for the Dodgers?
Any way they can get better, of course. They've been after that World Series for a while, and this is another big offseason for them to make that jump again. They just really need to make sure they're solid all around, and they've fallen in some areas, and I think he shores up some of their issues.
I agree with you there. Pollock's definitely, he comes with some concerns because he has an injury history that comes with him, but he's going to be able to lock down center field for them while he's active, and that'll help them because Cody Bellinger can slip back into first base, which is his natural position. He's versatile. He can probably play all three outfield positions, and the Dodgers definitely value versatility in their organization. Jackson, is there anything to add real fast to that?
Just A.J. Pollock had a breakout year last year, and I think that he'll be a really good asset for this Dodgers team going forward, as they're looking for depth in, like, utility players as A.J. Pollock, as he can play multiple positions. I think he'll be a really good asset for them.
All right.
Quick enough.
This probably rules the Dodgers out of the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado contention, but okay. I definitely viewed him in it for Harper, especially after the trade to clear up an outfield spot. But clearly, either he cost too much or they just valued Pollock more. Did you view them as a top team in that race, or did you think other teams were going to be more likely in on them?
On AJ Pollock?
On Bryce Harper.
Oh, on Bryce
Harper. Did you think the Dodgers were a big... or were in on Bryce Harper, or did you view them as...
No, they were more Machado suitors. Like, I heard no reports of Bryce Harper being interested in even going to L.A. with the Dodgers, or vice versa. So I think that the biggest chance they would have gotten to get, like, a blockbuster $300 million thing would be, like, Machado. But I think that the Dodgers know something we don't know, and that Machado's already made a choice somewhere, and he's just finalizing it at this point. So, yeah, they probably don't have a chance to get Machado at this point.
Yeah, they're inching closer to the luxury tax threshold, or the competitive balance tax threshold. They're right on the edge right now, so that'll probably mean the Dodgers will sit put for the rest of the offseason. I think that's their last move. Reports came out recently that San Diego was in on both Harper and Machado.
What?
The Padres were. And I want to ask, is there a team you would like to play for less in the MLB than the San Diego Padres right now? Because I don't think there's many teams that you could swing me on. Or you could say I'd rather play for the Padres than, in my opinion.
For me... the Padres, they kind of had a reemergence last year.
Being not as bad? They were still pretty bad.
Right, no, I know, exactly. But they kind of had a little better of a season. So they have potential. And I feel like, I'm not saying that Bryce Harper or Manny Machado is going to change that for them. Maybe win like 10 more games. But I'm thinking, once you get Bryce Harper or Machado, that team would definitely be in the contention of gaining other players that want to come. Because once you get a good veteran player, as Harper or Machado is, I think that that will attract a lot more players in this league, and that will elevate the Padres' chances of becoming more relevant in this league. So yeah, no, I agree with your point where Padres are in no man's land right now, but that can change maybe overnight.
I mean, okay, that's fair. Let's move on to basketball. Victor Oladipo's out for season.
You're out for the season?
Out for the season. Did you see that injury?
Dang it.
It was disgusting.
I don't know if it was disgusting. It was less... people had hopes because of how it happened.
Well, you never... I mean, it's disgusting. You never want to see a player go down for the
entire
season. No.
It was not disgusting in essence of looking at it. What was disgusting was his reaction to the injury, by which you could tell something was wrong. The injury wasn't as disgusting as an injury as you would think. Fans in the stadium did not think stuff was wrong immediately, but as soon as he started yelling, they were all on edge. There were people visibly and emotionally hurt and crying. He's a well-loved player there. I think he's found himself a home in Indiana after bouncing around in the NBA a little bit. He's gonna be missed by the Pacers, but I would like to mention earlier this season, they went 8-2 when he was out. And as he said when they interviewed him, my teammates stepped up last time and they'll step up again. So the Pacers still have hope, but they're missing Victor Oladipo. So big hit.
Yeah, that definitely is a big hit. How do you view the Pacers for the rest of the year without Oladipo, who's easily their best player?
I think most of the responsibility falls on Domantas Sabonis. Darren Collison also holds much of the responsibility, especially on the offensive end from the guard position. And then one person I think in Indiana you have to watch out for is Aaron Holiday, the rookie coming in, has showed extreme scoring prowess, almost like a mini Oladipo. He has a lot of the same traits. He's extremely athletic, good shooter. He can step in immediately at the starting shooting guard spot, and that's why I think the Pacers are still going to make the playoffs. I think Aaron Holiday possesses a ton of potential and is a great player. So I think the Pacers, with around Sabonis and Collison with the offensive push, but I think a sleeper to watch to fill in and score a lot of points. There's Aaron Holiday.
I mean, the Pacers aren't as good, though, obviously. Clearly, like, where do you view them in the stack if they're if you view them as a playoff team still? I mean, currently they were 32-15, 2.5 games behind the Bucks and the Raptors.
Yeah, I view them as, like, I would say the best they can do is probably a 4. I could see them maintaining for the rest of the season just to get in with that 4. Obviously, the worst they can do, I can see them going to 12. It really depends on how they approach this, so it's a volatile situation. But I think Aaron Holiday will step up. So I see them as like a 5 seed in the playoffs, which a lot of people will think they're going to drop out, but I think they're going to get there.
A 5 seed, that's interesting.
What do you think, Jackson? Do you agree, or...?
I'm a little bit nervous at this point for the Pacers because of the fact that they've been so efficient with getting Oladipo the ball, like making him the center of that offense.
He had a bad start to the year, though.
He was injured a lot too.
They still won, though.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying, like, they've finally gotten to a rhythm with Victor back in the lineup, and they were making efficient plays, winning games, clutch games as well with Ollie there. And just making outstanding plays all around just on his individual part. So having that piece is definitely going to hurt the Pacers. Do I think that that's going to knock them out of playoff contention? Not necessarily.
Okay. But I think that... In the East, behind them right now are the 76ers, Celtics. And I think they can beat every team 6 through 15.
Well, no, let's go through it.
The Nets are the 6th team right now. The Nets. 7 is the Hornets, 8 is the Heat. I think the Pacers without Victor Oladipo can beat all 3 of those. And then it's Pistons, Wizards, Magic, Hawks, Bulls, Knicks, Cavs.
At this point,
I think they can beat all of those.
I'm not sure what
the Pistons are the only team.
I'm not sure
what
we can confirm at this point. We haven't seen them play without
Oladipo
right now.
But I'm assuming Aaron Holiday will step in and be
okay,
good.
No, that's fine. That's totally
That's a big step for
right.
a guy who has
Which is why I said I'm
that
assuming
much.
That, which is a
right.
big
Right, so I'm just saying, like, it's hard to see at this point how they'll respond, especially since beginning of the season, they knew that Victor Oladipo was injured, but he was coming back. Now they know that he's not coming back this rest of the season. I don't know how they're going to respond to that mentally or physically on the court and how that's going to translate. So we'll just have to see throughout the entire game to see if they drop.
They do play on Saturday, but they play the Grizzlies, so I don't think that's an extremely good game to judge. But
sure.
They do get the Warriors in their second game without Victor Oladipo, which will be a game where we can see... against the best competition, how they stack up. But just their schedule for the rest of the season, they do not have a huge, like, really strong schedule. So mm-hmm. I still think, because even the stretch they're in right now, they got Grizzlies, Wizards, Magic, Heat, Pelicans, Warriors, Lakers for the next couple games. And then they get the Clippers, who the Clippers are a solid team. And they get some solid teams thrown in there, but because of their conference here, because I think they can beat 6 through 15, which I'm basing this on.
Mm-hmm.
So they get Cavs, Hornets, then they get the Bucks, who are good, but then they get the Pelicans, Wizards. So they're getting, like, in an average of a team that's above them, or I think can beat them, like, every 5 or so games or 4 games.
Sure. Okay.
And we have to assume they drop, like, one.
Well, of course.
Of the teams they're not. They're
when
supposed
you lose
to be.
All, yeah. You're definitely going to lose games.
But I still think they're going to, like, average a good enough record. So how many games do they have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
This is
14,
very
15,
entertaining.
16, 17, 18, 19.
So
they have
math.
19 games left.
In the season?
Yes.
What?
There's 19 games left. And they're a 3 seed.
We just hit the halfway point, though. They didn't get
No, 19 before the break,
Oh, my gosh.
There we go.
Yeah. I was like... I was terrified.
I'm not speaking season. I'm talking about the break.
19 games till the All-Star
break. No, and he's gone for the All-Star game, too.
I don't know if he was going to make
it. Who even drafted him? Their season is over.
Oh.
You know, like, for our All-Star draft, who drafted him? I can't remember. I'll check.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
way to go, Jacob. You drafted him. So your season is over.
Well, he's on my bench. Yeah, I don't need 5
You
bench
can just
players.
Slide in honorary
I'll slide in
Vince
Carter.
Carter.
I'll slide in Aaron Holiday.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. That's a stretch.
Yeah, so I think they're, even if they go average, Jackson, which I think they'll be above average, I still think that only puts them... at a 5 if other people do well, but average will keep them at the same record point. It will just put them up 8 games, so 22, 42, and 22. So
I think
42 and 22 is still good.
The fact that the Nets are actually doing well this year. How the Hornets.
Well, the Nets are 26 and 23.
All right, no, then let's do this. We all have the Eastern Conference standings up, I believe. So let's do this. Where do you think they end up as a seed?
Jacob? You go first, because I need to look it up first.
5.
I'm going to say...
There's 3 right now.
6.
Okay, that's respectable.
Who do you have? Or do you have the Nets above them? Or no?
No,
going above them.
I have the Celtics and Sixers above them.
The Nets have been a pleasant surprise this year.
They won't pass the Celtics
and
Sixers, though.
Are 8-2 in their last 10 games. I think the Nets are really looking up. That team is...
Moving on up.
Team is surprisingly dependent on Oladipo, not just on offense, but on defense.
Who are the best 2 teams in the East? Can we just lock them in now? Who's going to be 1-2?
Bucks or Raptors?
Bucks and Raptors. I think Bucks and Raptors will stay for the whole season. I don't know who will be number 1 and
I mean,
who will be number 2.
It is super close, but right now, with the way everyone's playing, you've got to say the Bucks and the Raptors are definitely ahead on those top 2 seeds.
I think the Bucks and the Raptors are locks in the Eastern Conference 2. One of them will be 1 and one of them will be 2.
Jeez,
so we can talk about after that. It's a very close conference, though, in terms of games.
There are 4 real teams in the East that people are going to view as competitive for a title, which is Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, Celtics. Outside of that, I think the Pacers were definitely edging up into that conversation. They really missed out on it because they don't have the player notoriety like Giannis and Kawhi, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, like those guys. Oladipo wasn't that like marketable big name dude, but they were definitely a competitive team. Like, it wouldn't have surprised me if
Oladipo,
I have him dropping on the 7.
Interesting.
I think the Sixers pass them, Celtics pass them,
Nets
pass them, and then I think that the Pistons pass them as well.
The Pistons aren't currently in the playoffs, which means you're high on the Pistons. Explain why you're so high on the Pistons real fast.
They started out the season super hot, and they were one of the best, like, top 2 seeds in the East. I think that they have found a weak point right now, and they're in a little bit of a slump. Once they find out that chemistry back with Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, get that entire Pistons team back on the same page, I think that that'll just go back to their winning ways. I think that there's just been... I don't know what's going on with the Pistons right now, but I think that they're still a playoff contending team.
Okay.
But I don't know. That's just my hot take.
Okay.
Pistons
yeah.
will go back.
So I think I saw that... I was watching the Pistons game last night, actually. And Blake Griffin had a very interesting post-game interview where... The Pistons, if you didn't know, have been in a bunch of close games.
Yeah.
And lost a lot of leads. Earlier this season, they lost like a 24-point lead going into the fourth quarter and ended up losing the game. So even after they beat the Pelicans and lost a big lead this game, they beat them 98-94, Blake Griffin talked about after the game about how they have a lack of focus and they really just don't finish games very well. They get too comfortable with their leads. And Reggie Jackson chose the wrong time to video bomb his interview at that moment when he was talking about their lack of focus. He was celebrating the win, whereas Blake Griffin was not celebrating the win. I just think it's an easy fix for the Pistons. So I kind of agree with you, but I don't know if the Pistons can fix that lack of consistency.
Fair.
They're just some of their games, they come out and they lose to teams. I'm like they just looked horrible. But that front court is very scary. In the Pistons with Drummond and Blake Griffin. So I could see them moving up.
Sure.
Okay. Let's shift to the West and talk about James Harden, because James Harden has been on an absolute unprecedented tear of games. He has been insane. And I can't speak for, I think, Jackson, who said Giannis was MVP, right? When we had our MVP debate. I thought Giannis was MVP. But I think
so,
these
yeah.
last games have definitely made me change my mind.
Change your mind?
Oh, yeah. Right now.
No.
Right now,
Giannis
James Harden's
MVP.
Giannis
is MVP.
James Harden is 100% the MVP of the league right now for me. And obviously, we've got a lot of games to play.
Oh, you mean to say he's the reigning MVP?
I think he's going to get back-to-back. At this point, at this point the season, I think he's getting back to back.
So actually, I'm gonna go with Derrick Rose at this point.
Okay, so you're just talking out your butt.
No, actually, Derrick Rose is going to be an All-Star this year.
So is Vince Carter. But would you say Vince Carter's the MVP? No, Derrick Rose isn't the MVP.
I'm not making an argument.
Give him their comeback player of the year award. Goodness. Give him sixth man of the year. He's not the MVP.
No, he's not.
I think another person to watch out for MVP is Damian Lillard too. Damian Lillard's been showing out, has one of the highest 3-point percentages in the league, and has been a great player so far.
Dame Dalla always shows up.
Plus, the Blazers are the 4 seed above the Rockets. You can't tell me the Rockets look as dangerous as they did last year or the years before.
I can't say as a team they don't, but they also got to discount that Chris Paul's injured, Clint Capella's now out, but James Harden has been carrying that team and has looked even better than he did last year when he won the MVP. I would pick him if this season ended today. The problem is with that, obviously, the season does not end today. You got to take into account things like voter fatigue. That's why LeBron hasn't won an MVP in a while, because everyone's tired of him winning MVPs. Mm-hmm. We like new guys. That's why I did pick Giannis, but I can't discount the absolute run James Harden's been on.
It's Giannis for me. I like Harden, but you can't discount the fact that he wasn't as impressive earlier this season, had some really bad games. I think Giannis is the face of consistency and the new face of the NBA as we continue forward.
I'd just like to read, starting with, what day? Holy gosh. I'm just going back through right now. And the last time James Harden scored under 20 points, at least, was when he scored 15 back on December 6th. He's had a 50-point game, a bunch of mid-high 40 games, and two more 50-point, high 50-point games, January 14th and 16th, and then just dropped 61.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
How many assists did he get, though?
Really? Come on. He dropped 61 points, 4 assists, 15 rebounds.
15 rebounds is pretty good for James Harden. 15 rebounds. That's pretty darn good for James Harden.
Are you kidding me? Oh my
He's literally
gosh.
Carrying that team. I don't see how. In my opinion, he's the
Clint,
MVP.
Clint, get out the way. Got a new rebounder in Rocket City.
Yeah, he does. He has been rebounding well recently.
Holy crap.
He's got 15, 6, 8, 10,
That's
9, 9, 10, 11.
It's the underrated story of the season is how James Harden has turned into a rebounding god.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a religion.
Yeah, so Giannis is. Last game was 31 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, 25 points, 13 rebounds,
but
5 assists,
it wasn't Kobe
points,
levels. It wasn't
11
Kobe
rebounds,
levels.
3 assists. And then he had a triple-double versus the Heat. And then the Hawks, 33, 6, and 4. And then Rockets, he played against James Harden. James Harden had 33, I think, and he had 27, 21 rebounds, and 5 assists. So people were saying he won that matchup, but...
The Rockets have played 47 games this year so far. Name how many times James Harden hasn't led them in scoring.
I don't know.
Give a guess.
Zero.
Probably the time that he scored 15.
It's 6. Oh, out of 47 games, James Harden has led the team in scoring in all but 6 games. That is...
And they're still 5th seed.
Yeah, that's the thing. They start out really bad, but that's 87% of games. I was stalling there because I had to do math, and I can't do math in my head. But that was 87% of all games he leads that team in scoring, and that's only going to probably go up, at least until they get Chris Paul back. And I don't know, maybe... What? Gordon. Maybe he plays at a better level. Eric Gordon. I don't know. Just right now, I see that team lives and dies by James Harden, and you can't tell me that he isn't the most valuable player to his team in the NBA right now.
Well,
except for maybe LeBron.
Well, I mean...
LeBron's clearly the most valuable player to
the
Lakers.
I think there's... I think it's a two-horse race, although there's recent arguments being made for Joel Embiid to be in that conversation.
Yuck.
Yuck. Why do you say
yuck?
Don't like how it goes.
Why don't you like how he plays? He's a great player.
Because he's better than you.
He's definitely not MVP.
I'll give you that. He's been good. He's been better this year. I wouldn't give him the MVP over those two, but he'd definitely make a top five shortlist for me right now.
Top five? Should we do that?
I mean, if you want.
Top five?
Sure. Pick your top five for MVP.
1, Giannis. 2, James Harden. 3, Anthony Davis. 4, Kawhi Leonard. 5, Kevin Durant. I can do 6 through 10, too.
I would not like you to do 6 through 10. My point with Anthony Davis, is he's definitely been putting up the stats, but I don't think you can give it to a player whose team isn't in the playoffs. That's just my opinion.
I don't think you can overlook dominance that great to look at his team. I mean, it's not, they're 22 and 26. It's not even that bad of a record.
I'm saying I wouldn't put him at 3.
Oh, well, that's a matter of opinion.
I'd put him at 5, but I don't think you can put a player in the top 3.
Are you kidding me? So you're discounting a player's greatness based on the fact that his team's 22 and 26, which isn't even a losing record and is a good place for a seed in the Eastern Conference.
Hold on. 22 and 26 is a losing record.
No, I'm saying it isn't even a bad losing record. They're literally, they have a spot in their
conference. I don't think
you
can view him as a serious contender if he does not make the playoffs. No.
That's
not to discount how good he
is.
That's
very ridiculous.
That's just to discount that clearly he can't pull that team to the playoffs. You gave LeBron MVPs, and LeBron pulled a team with worse supporting cast than Anthony Davis has to a finals.
Jeez, so the Pelicans in the Eastern Conference would be an 8 seed.
Right, but they're not in the Eastern Conference.
Wonderful.
So
they're in the Western Conference. We have to take that with a grain of salt because the Western Conference is much better than the Eastern Conference.
I think if you're going to do a top five,
I don't think you're
going to
discount greatness for the third person. Anthony Davis is amazing, insane averages, and is one of the greatest generational talents we'll ever see in play basketball at the big man position.
Yeah, he's that too, but you can't.
Who are you putting over him?
Kawhi. I'd easily put Kawhi over him.
Over Anthony Davis?
That's a matter of opinion.
Right now,
we'll agree to disagree.
If I had to rank him, it'd go Harden, Giannis, Kawhi, Steph. I'd go Steph, and then Anthony Davis.
Steph is below Durant for me right now.
Steph's averaging almost 30 points a game. He's putting up stats,
I don't think Steph will...
And you can make the case that Durant's a better player, which I think he is, but Stephen Curry's more valuable to the Warriors.
Stephen Curry's averaging 29 points a game.
I said almost 30.
And Durant's averaging 28 and more rebounds than him and more assists than Steph Curry.
If you look back,
so
when the Warriors,
overall, his
when the Warriors play,
efficiency
when the Warriors
better.
Play without Durant, compare it. That to when the Warriors play without Curry.
I'm looking at the most dominant player when they're on the court.
They're much better. It's not about most dominant. It's most valuable player.
Nope.
It's not most dominant player.
The word is no
it's
longer
most valuable.
Valuable
player.
The word is no longer most valuable.
Okay, here's a question for you, Logan.
The word is no longer.
So you say that an
dominant.
MVP shouldn't be on a non-playoff team.
I don't think
yes,
that.
Yes,
it,
it's happened
it'll happen.
So many times that
so,
they happen.
So, like, would you discount Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1975 when he won MVP? On a 40-42 record for the Lakers?
I'm not saying
there's been
that,
a lot of MVPs on
I'm the not MVP. Saying that it hasn't happened, and I'm not saying that
well, like, would
it
you
can't
say it's
happen.
Wrong,
I don't have that
he's
year
one,
pulled
had,
up in front of me. I don't know
he had one
who
of the
has
greatest
comparative
seasons
stats that
in
year.
The history of basketball.
And Anthony Davis isn't having one of the greatest seasons in the history of NBA basketball. He's just a great player right now, but he's not transcendent. The season isn't transcendent. That's what I'm saying. James Harden and Giannis both are having pretty transcendent seasons right now. And their teams are winning. I think winning plays a big role in who gets most valuable player. And you can, at this point, discount players who aren't in the playoffs. That's just my opinion.
I guess you can discount them, but you can't count them out completely.
And I'm not counting them out completely. That's why I put them top five. And the Pelicans could change their season around, sweep into the 7th seed, and I'd probably move them to 3.
Sure.
But right now, I can't put them higher than 5.
The last 15 MVPs have been on teams that made the playoffs.
Exactly. And I think that's going to extend
one
year
longer.
And before
that, it was
about
a lot more frequent until you get down to Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, who all made the playoffs, obviously.
Times change. Anyway, let's move on
Steve
to...
Steve Nash made the playoffs in 05?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That team was great.
He had Shaq, didn't he?
Let's talk about...
No.
Shaq was on the
Suns. No, he was not.
Shaq was on the Suns, but not in 2005. In 2005, he was with the Heat. Let's talk about NBA teams, maybe a little trade deadline stuff, because the trade deadline is approaching fast. And there are definitely some teams that could or should make some moves. So let's talk about four teams that I've selected with players that are potentially on the move. And then I'll let you guys suggest teams that either should start trading players or need to start trading for people. The first team I want to highlight is the New York Knicks, because Enes Kanter was recently in the news saying that if they're not going to play him, they should trade him. He's been, I think he was just a coach's decision, not played yet last night, and has been a couple of times. I don't want to touch on the political controversy that's currently going on with him in Turkey, because that's way bigger than any of us, and we should not attempt to address that, yep, at least at this time.
Sure.
So, do you think Enes Kanter is a potential trade target, and where would he fit well in the NBA?
I'm not sure.
Nowhere.
I really don't see him
nowhere
moving. I don't see him really moving.
Enes Kanter, I don't see him moving, number one. And number two, he doesn't have a high market for him, honestly. He wants to be a starting center in the NBA. He has a very high opinion of himself as a player. Personally, I've never liked his game very much, and I almost dropped my computer. But I just don't think there's a huge market for him as a starting big man, and that's what he wants. So
you can't tell me that there's not top-level teams that he wouldn't be, or playoff teams that he wouldn't start on today.
No, he'd be on the bench.
He'd start in San Antonio at center, probably.
No.
I'd think.
Nope. Never. Never.
Who starts over him at center?
Poeltl. He said he's the best option for them moving forward. He literally said that last week.
Well, Greg Popovich says that his players call him daddy, so maybe let's discount his opinion a little bit. All right,
we can,
because no grown man that likes to be called daddy should have a valuable opinion.
That is not true. Dads are some of the most influential people in our world today.
I'm not saying nothing about dads. I'm saying something about the word daddy, which I don't even like saying now. It makes me cringe.
It makes me cringe.
There's no spot for Enes Kanter. You don't think he's leaving New York?
Maybe San Antonio. I kind of agree with that point.
I just think San Antonio is a solid spot for him.
The power of the $5 bill.
What the actual crap was that?
You've got mail.
Oh, we got mail.
We do have mail.
What?
You've got mail.
We have some mail, everybody.
Did my package get delivered?
No, it didn't.
Dang.
From Daniel King. I'm not going to say his email address. Love the podcast. Well, we love you too. I listened to it with my son and wondering if you guys could do an MLB and NBA episode soon. Funny thing, we're doing the NBA right now. We want to ask some questions and follow along. Feel free to send in questions anytime. Again, we love your insights and are excited to meet your baseball expert.
Yeah!
Woo!
We love baseball and are excited to see your developing podcast. We are excited to be part of the Absolutists.
Ooh!
I kind of like that.
Interesting.
Yo,
Absolutists.
Is that a fan
Absolutists?
I mean, I would have picked the
merch,
necessities.
Merch coming soon.
That's the first I'm hearing about that. But no, thank you very much for the email.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, we're excited.
Wait. He put an emoji with sunglasses at the end.
Yeah! This is cool, and we're cool. No, just to jump in, yeah, we are very excited. With the NFL season winding down, we're going to start transitioning to more MLB, NBA talk, which I think is super cool, super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Our baseball expert is, his name is Brad. We all go to college with him. He's a great guy, and I've never met anyone that can just... He has the knowledge that he has wide-spanning.
Okay, he does listen
He's
to this podcast.
He's absolutely insane.
But,
yeah, he does listen to our podcast.
Brad is honestly the best. He's... Oh, my gosh. He is better than any baseball analyst in the whole entire world. Brad is literally... Like, honestly...
He's up there with Kirkjian.
Yeah, I don't even care if you're on ESPN. Brad is better than you. He's just humble, okay?
All right, cool. We do like
also,
ESPN.
We're also thinking about getting another guy talking about basketball soon.
Yeah,
Joseph. And he does a lot of insights on basketball, so I can't wait to have him come on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Hopefully soon towards All-Star Week.
Yep, we're going to try to push that towards the All-Star break so we can maybe do a more in-depth look at the entire first half of the season mm-hmm. and project from the second half. And Joe's got an incredible amount of knowledge about basketball, too.
Yeah.
I'd say one of the strongest assets of doing this show is that since we're on a college campus, we have a big community of friends, and a lot of them, I'd argue, are much smarter than us. So, no, thank you for the email, and we look forward to doing that soon. Let's jump right back into trade talk and transition to talk about the Wizards, who are definitely a team that needs to make some moves. They're not built to win this year. So, do you think they should start trading some of those assets? Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, John Wall, you can mention if you want, but I'm pretty sure most people think he's unmovable.
The contract's too big there for what you're getting out of it. So, yes, I believe you're right. Unless they throw in a valuable asset, it would have to be a type of deal where you're sending something also valuable with him to justify the contract.
Like a Dwight Howard type?
I think he would have sent Dwight Howard along.
I know
the Wizards would not send Dwight Howard. He's too much of a valuable piece there.
I was not making that argument. Okay.
I was thinking more around a first-round pick or something like that to send with him, which would be more valuable. So I think you're right. John Wall is not tradable. I believe Bradley Beal will be traded by the trade deadline. And I will base this argument on the fact that I think I could see the Raptors as a team that would make that final push. But the issue for the Raptors would be with their cap space. They'd have to mortgage a couple bench players, which I'm not sure the Raptors want to do, because the Raptors' strength has always been in their bench. They've always been able to run two units who do an excellent job of keeping consistency on the floor, and they're not bad this year. So maybe you don't need to...
Raptors have the best record in the NBA.
Yes, so you don't...
Or second best record.
So the thing for me with the Raptors is I don't think they pulled the trigger on the deal because of that. But I think they're one of the most likely teams that's being put out there right now to make this deal. The mm-hmm. other team is also the Lakers, who were rumored to be out there. But the Lakers have the same spot. They do can take on a max contract. But they also have that thing where they're looking at free agency this year for a player.
Right.
So I don't think they take him on either. So I'm kind of interested to see where he goes. I think he will be traded. I think it's time for the Wizards to burn the boat and start over, because this team has a terrible locker room, number one, and number two, has no consistency on the floor and has been throwing random guys into the lineup and stuff like that, trying to mix it around. I just don't think the Wizards have an outlook looking forward, especially with Beal and especially Wall getting older. They just really didn't capitalize on their stars.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say if I had to pick a team for Bradley Beal, I would pick the Lakers. They're a pretty natural fit. He's a scorer. He'd fit well with LeBron James. They definitely have a need for help there, especially with LeBron out. They've played their way out of the playoffs, currently down to the 9 seed, a game behind the Clippers. I mean, it makes sense as a landing spot, and they definitely have the capital to trade for him, but I don't know if the Lakers will pull it this year. Jackson?
You're still talking about Bradley Beal, right?
Yes, we are. If you want to transition to talk about Otto Porter after this, too, I'm fine with that, if you think he has any value.
No, that's totally fine. I think that Bradley Beal would still be a tradable asset for the Wizards, because they just reached a point of complacency where they think, oh, we have Bradley, we have John Wall, we have a great tandem up there, I think that will be good. That you need more depth than that, and that's clearly shown for the Wizards this year, so they need to move on. Like Jacob said, burn the boat. I think that Bradley Beal would be a really good fit for the Lakers, actually, with that tandem. But I'm not sure if the Lakers will be willing to give up assets, young assets, to get Bradley. So I'm not sure if that will happen, but it would be a great fit. Another interesting place I would like to see Bradley, I don't know, maybe if the Timberwolves would look for a shooting guard position.
There's no way the Timberwolves,
especially with their cap space, would need to mortgage another first-round pick, which they are not doing.
I really want Bradley Beal on the Timberwolves.
Well, I think what you really want is anybody but Andrew Wiggins.
Is he a shooting guard? I think he was small forward.
He can play both positions.
Well, fair enough. But Yeah, so, yeah, I think Lakers would be the best tradable choice.
Speaking of L.A., I don't think the Clippers would be a bad place for him either, but I don't think the Clippers want to trade the core that they've built this year. They've got some good young guys.
They've actually been doing decently.
Yeah, they're currently in the playoff picture. They've slowed down a little bit as of late, but, I mean, I wouldn't give up on it this year. You're in the playoffs. Does Otto Porter have any value as a trade asset, or is that contract with how he's been playing just not good enough?
Oh, I still could see a team pulling the trigger on that just because he was the leader in NBA three-point percentage a year or two ago to get that shooting, but it's a lot to pay for shooting.
Right.
Especially since he's not actually that good of a 3-and-D player. The defense is a little bit lacking on his end, so he's not. You're just paying for 3-point shooting, and you can pay a lot less or mortgage a lot less in a trade for 3-point shooting. So I could see a team doing that, but also, if a team's looking for 3-point shooting, I would say to look elsewhere.
All right, let's go to the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies have, according to reports, started taking offers on Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, a couple of franchise players for them.
Should we start with Gasol?
I mean, I think in general, we should just go around quick. Do we think they're serious about trading those players?
Yes.
I believe so, too.
They're that crazy.
Yeah, where do you think the holes are?
I think they're crazy.
I think it's a natural move.
Gasol is 33 years old, has fallen off after his strong start to the season, and is out with back issues.
And Conley's definitely not lived up to the super max contract that he signed. So I believe, yeah, they're definitely looking at trading those players, but they're not going to give up on them if it's not the price they want.
Yeah, but this
where do you think teams are
giving up?
Them,
this is a short-term rebuild as the Grizzlies are approaching it because of their number 4 pick in the draft, arguably becoming one of the best players in this year's draft, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, he's been
their
good.
Goal is to get draft picks for this next year's draft and veteran talent to surround him. So that's their immediate goal.
So where do you think Conley and Gasol go if they're traded?
See, that's the tough thing. There is not a lot of places that I could see them going. I would have to, for Gasol, the thing is, it's the fact that he's so old, I think, for teams to get over. I would have to look to a team that wants to make a push. Maybe if the Hornets don't trade Kemba Walker, I could see the Hornets possibly grabbing him just because of cap.
The Hornets are another team I could see going for Bradley Beal possibly, too.
Yeah. I could see the Kings with Willie Cauley-Stein being a bit unimpressive this season. I could see the Kings grabbing him, especially since the Kings have been pretty good this season and are looking
currently
on the
at 500. Yeah.
Yep. So I think the Kings could use him to make that extra push. I could see the Mavericks, just because I think in that it's more of a long shot. I could see the Mavericks in terms of cap space, they could do that. The issue is they already have DeAndre Jordan. But the rumor is DeAndre Jordan's on a 1-year, whereas Gasol's on a 3-year. The rumor is they could trade Jordan for Gasol because
I think Gasol's on a 1-year or like a 1-and-1 opt-out.
I think they have an option though for 2, don't they? Or whatever. It's a team option, I think. So, and then the last team, which I find very interesting, is I was looking around at the NBA. It's a very useful tool if people want to look for cap space. It's a trade tool online. Just search up NBA Trade Tool Analyzer. Can analyze cap space and make trades work. The Clippers actually have a couple trades that would work out for Marc Gasol, and I could see them pulling the trigger, especially since they're so good this year. The issue would be they have so many players that people overlooked that have been great this year. So the thing is, do they put those players away that they've built for so long or like acquired for Marc Gasol? It would be a big risk, but also the Clippers need to make that next push right now.
I agree with you. The Kings one is an interesting team that didn't pop to my head. But no, I think it'd be cool, and I hope if they do that deal, if that happens, it'd be nice of them to trade Zach Randolph back, because I think Zach Randolph should retire as a Grizzly, in my opinion.
True.
If I'm looking at teams that realistically could go for him if they want to do that retool, just for him and Conley, there doesn't feel like there's a lot of teams that would be in on Conley. There feels like there's less teams that would be in on a 33-year-old center that's on the downswing of his career.
Oh, you're talking about Gasol?
I am talking about Gasol.
Okay, by the way, I was wrong. It's a player option.
I thought so.
Which he will probably pick up because it's 25.6. And
don't think he'd get 25.6 in free agency.
No. And also the Clippers do have enough money for a max in free agency, so they could be looking
right
at that. So that's that's the big thing. Teams are saving this money, and that's might be why the Mavericks might not pull the trigger, because they would have big money with Jordan leaving again.
Actually, what I wanted to point out with the Conley one is I can see the Mavericks being a potential Conley spot.
Yeah.
As we've discussed before, Dennis Smith Jr. is not the perfect fit next to Luka. I think Conley can play better. He's a better outside shooter.
Defender.
He has better defense.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually capable of playing off ball better than Dennis Smith Jr. is. The Magic wouldn't be a bad spot for him as well. The Magic have a point guard need and definitely have the ability to either trade a bigger contract in return or swallow that bigger deal. I feel like a good fit for him would be the Pelicans, but the Pelicans are you probably can't make that trade. But the way they balance their salaries on that roster. Is there really any other team in the East, in my opinion? No.
I could see the Sixers.
The Sixers can't afford it.
I think they can.
Trade Jimmy Butler!
There would have to be some cap maneuvering.
Jimmy Butler can play for all 32 teams in a season.
They'd have to mortgage some of their future, but I think Conley would be good with Simmons, especially.
Burns every locker room on the way!
That's true.
Jackson? How you doing over there? You live?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just listening. Conley and Gasol.
Also, three-team trades could work, too.
True.
That's true. Gasol... I definitely don't see him leaving the Grizzlies at least this year,
mm-hmm.
especially with that player option he has. Conley, that's interesting. Some teams are looking for some point guard depth. He definitely wouldn't be starting on a lot of teams that would be interested in him. I really like the Hornets picking Conley up.
Real fast, how about the Pacers?
Oh.
The Pacers feel like a good spot for him, especially
the
after the Oladipo injury.
Need someone, yeah.
For?
Conley.
Yeah.
They already have Darren Collison, who's been actually performing really well.
Would you rather have Mike Conley or Darren Collison?
We
gotta speed this along because we have to go
soon. I'd rather see them get Bradley Beal.
Okay, that's fair. Alright, real fast, before we transition to our last topic, which will end the show. Again, sorry for the hustle, but I gotta go to class. So, Kevin Love, do you think the Cavs can trade Kevin Love, or is Beal movable?
I just don't think he's shown enough of dominance to be worth that contract he has right now.
Yeah.
Maybe a team that's really
that desperate. Contract doesn't even kick in until next year.
Yeah, it's an insane contract. I have no idea. They were just trying to maintain some type of relevance in the NBA maybe for
they
a little bit.
They thought they could, and I don't think they can.
I don't think they can. It was a bad contract,
right.
Period.
Jackson, do you think K-Love is movable?
No, because no team's going to want him. He's been injured. He's injury prone.
Yep, exactly. I don't think you can move him, especially this year with him being injured. So I want to transition to our last topic, which is more fun. Did you guys see the clip of Jamal Adams tackling the Patriots mascot?
I did.
Do you think it was as funny as I did? Because I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, he hit him pretty hard.
Yeah. I think it's pretty funny, but not for the guy inside. But if you don't think that was slightly planned, I think you're a little wrong.
I don't think it was planned.
I think it was a little fake. And you know what else I think is a whole little fake? The WWE.
Woo.
I say that full well knowing that anybody in the WWE could actually destroy me. Even, like, the accountants could probably destroy me. So, I want to ask you guys, which professional athletes do you think would make the best WWE athletes? We all know Rob Gronkowski's on the list, but who else would you pick?
JaVale McGee? Just because of his name.
JaVale McGee would be a solid WWE athlete.
Or Giannis?
Giannis would be good. LeBron, obviously.
Oh, yeah, LeBron. The King.
I think LeBron would be a solid WWE athlete. Masick, you got anybody?
Bartolo Colon.
Big Sexy?
I can see Bartolo taking it.
Big Sexy knows how to own the ring.
Like the baseball mound.
The baseball mound.
For what?
For WWE players.
Yeah. Who do you think would make the best WWE player? What are you doing?
Can you speak with words, please?
I don't know. I have zero idea.
You have zero ideas.
What player in what league? Can I choose anything?
Yeah. You can choose any player.
Cristiano Ronaldo. Who's the backup catcher for the Minnesota Twins?
Mitch Garver?
No. Whatever.
Oh!
Or something. That
Chunky and Funky.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
Funky. But Bartolo Colon.
Oh, Astilo.
Astilo.
Hey!
Astilo.
See, Astilo just sounds like a wrestler's name, too.
Yeah, I think his name would work really well with wrestling. Plus, if you ever see him, look him up. Just look up his name. That when this dude runs around the base pass, he's a charging bull around the base pass.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's just keep throwing out some names. Nickel Robey Coleman.
I think Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah. I think Rob Gronkowski was a given at the beginning.
Tom Brady, because he's the GOAT.
He just dressed up in a GOAT costume. Yeah.
Richie Incognito, because he'd bully everyone out of the ring.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
oh,
hey.
That's touchy.
Hey-o. Reuben Foster.
No.
C.J. Anderson.
Yeah!
C.J. Anderson on the Super Bowl bound ring.
Mike Tolbert. Is Mike Tolbert still in the NFL?
I don't think
no, but he's reincarnated as C.J. Anderson.
That's not true.
Yeah, they're like the exact same build now.
True.
Mm.
Drew Brees, of course.
No, not Drew Brees. Drew Brees is too nice a guy.
Fair.
Larry Fitzgerald, maybe? I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, by the way, announced he's coming back for another season. Ndamukong Suh would be a good one.
He'd just step on people's hands.
See, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of... Like, you could make the case that every defensive lineman would be good in the WWE. But it's not about the fighter. It's about the personality as well. You gotta have that good personality. And I think... Sue definitely has some personality. He'd be solid.
Alright, guys. I hate to let you know, but it's the return of Crone's Corner.
Gah!
Fergie.
No. No, stop! No, stop!
Run.
This is copyrighted. No, stop.
I can see Draymond smile.
Stop. I hate you. This isn't entertaining for anyone, dude.
Hey.
We're in audio format! You're trying to show us dancing!
Okay, alright. Welcome
show
to Crone's Corner, everybody.
Absolutely.
We have three stories this week that happened in this past NBA season so far.
Alright.
Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics booked a hotel room at his local Hilton.
As you do.
As you do at the games. And there were pictures hung up in these rooms. Well, there was a women's picture in his room. And he didn't like the picture, so he punched the frame of the picture, leaving him with a lacerated hand that knocked him out for 3 weeks.
That's a real Marcus Smart move.
That's a real
As a Celtics fan, I can confirm that's a Marcus Smart move.
So if you guys ever remember Charlie Villanueva, the bald-headed Pistons player?
Yes.
He used to bring his own toilet on the road for some reason from the Pistons. He used to order it, like bring a new toilet into the hotel to put it in because he didn't believe they sanitized him well or something. Well, one night he left his door unlocked, and someone stole Charlie Villanueva's toilet, and he had started a whole search and rescue investigation for a toilet. So Charlie Villanueva's toilet is still out there somewhere in our world, and we must find it.
I got two things, which is, I'm pretty sure Kevin Garnett, who's like the greatest trash talker of all time, called Charlie Villanueva a cancer victim, like, in a game.
Oh my
which
God.
Is awful. But also... Derrick Rose believes in ghosts, and isn't there that story with him on the road where, like, they fooled him and said, like, a ghost upturned his room, and he, like, moved out of the room and went to sleep in another room? I'm pretty sure that happened. I'm not okay. making that up. I really hope I'm not making that up, because it's hilarious. Anyway, last story.
Last story. Everyone knows Glenn Big Baby Davis, correct?
Yeah.
Well, Big Baby recently got arrested with 126 grams of pot and $92,000 in cash. When asked, he declined to comment... but 3 days later posted on Instagram a photo of him eating Popeye's chicken.
Oh.
That was the story?
Yes, his response is he eats Popeye's chicken.
That was such a all terrible dismount. All right,
fine, we'll do a replacement story, jeez.
No, you're done. The dismount was terrible.
No. Zaza Pachulia is one of the cleanest basketball players.
I already hate the story. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. We appreciate anyone who listens.
Zaza accidentally fell on another player.
We'll talk to you next time. Quick, put the Fergie song to this. Just the yeah. Hate Fergie.
Ooh.
All right, it's bad out.